Now, the shotgun start in golf is full of mathematics. There's a lot of setup work that we have to do in order to make a tournament work. So I'm going to demonstrate to you just exactly how we do a shotgun start here.
And here we go.
All right, all right, all right. Gentlemen, start your engine!
Greetings and welcome to a Monday edition of the Shotgun Start. It is March 15th. Andy, how we doing?
Brendan! It's a melancholy Monday.
We're recording almost immediately after the Players' Championship has come to a close. It's still light out. We got that extra hour of light today, 6:45 Eastern. Uroli and I just captured the Big Ten Championship, Basketball Championship, the postseason. Men's team did. But your Lee Westwood came up short. It had to be agonizing. They were literally coming down in unison. You know, Illinois going to overtime, Westy battling to basically, I don't know, the 18th fairway. It was... had to be excruciating for you.
It was awful. It was terrible to the both the games were, you know, the golf and the Illinois game were going in these ebbs and flows, and Illinois was up really big early. Like, oh good, I can at least, like, you know, at least this one's in the bag, you know. And then Westy made his charge late, kind of. But yeah, then Illinois, you know, it was brutal. It was two screens. It was a lot of emotions. I'm emotionally spent.
You're wiped. But we figured we'd code early, get the emotion when it's raw. Sort of didn't have time to calm down, didn't have time to lift your spirits. We just want to kind of get this out and up and kind of when it's most
at
most
least
raw.
I mean, at least we know who the Big Ten champion is.
I don't think that's in dispute anymore. You got a one seed too, right? You're happy about that.
We got Loyola though. They put Loyola the 8 seed. They're playing great. They got this in state little thing that's not good. That's not a good thing. Did you see Oral Bob made it?
No, Bill Glasson must be jumping. Maybe cracked a smile somewhere in Stillwater. Fantastic.
They're playing the 15-2 matchup. They got, I forgot who they got.
Well, I mean, the tournament's always enriched when Oral Bob is on the bracket line, in my opinion. Well, I'm happy for you. You got at least one. So they get cheeky. They throw you with Loyola. They get like the USGA setting up the T-sheet.
Yeah, then they got Oklahoma State, which is where our coach came from, is the 4 seed. It's just like, not to mention, they're a pretty good 4 seed.
They like to create the drama. Welcome to this Monday episode. You want to go just bracket every bracket, go line by
happier,
line, go through
happier,
all the matchups?
Happier topic right now than talking about Westy. That was a tough Sunday. It was crazy. What was going on the front nine?
I recency bias here, but I think this was the best Sunday at the Players since the Ricky one. Am I like the Rory was kind of a
great
walk, right?
Siwoo was kind of boring.
Yeah. Jason Day kind of cruised, if I'm not mistaken. Same with Webb, but maybe it's recency bias. But it was just a great Sunday from start to finish. I like it's a compact, 1-6, and you're done, you're out. As opposed to having to watch all day from sun up to sundown, like the first couple of days. It was a good 5-hour television show, I thought. But in the end, didn't
not a lot of commercials too. That limited commercials makes a huge difference with golf. I felt so much more attached and into what was going on. JT, that was an incredible display of golf over the final 36 holes, especially considering he putted like shit today and still won. Like, he didn't putt well.
Lost 2 strokes on the green, putting, strokes gained putting, I think, in the final round. He had the skills that you want on display. Certainly at this course, at this championship, at really any championship, you want to be rewarded in that way. The TD Green was not just like good, it was
extraordinary.
Exemplary, dominant, nearly historic. I think Justin Wright tweeted he was pushing scaring Stephen Ames maybe for like the whole weekend strokes gained tee to green, something like 10, 11 shots. Just a crazy final 36 holes, starting with the 64 on Saturday. Amazing today. It felt like, I mean, when the whole circus started around, I don't know, I'd say two through like seven, eight, with everybody behind him, it just felt like it was JT's tournament to win.
It was weird though, because he hit it so good the first
right.
nine holes and got nothing out of it. You kind of were like, well, like, is he going to start hitting it worse? But it just he just kept hitting it great, and obviously, he got just an incredible bounce on 18.
So it looked like it landed in a divot or something. Did you see how like the sand shot mm-hmm. up? I'm sure it had some spin on it and all that.
Maybe it hit a catch basin.
I was wondering if there was like some FedEx chicanery there. You know, there's some sort of mechanical doping.
Hologram?
Or somebody, yeah, threw themselves in front of that one. But that was the last 45 minutes was a real strong endorsement of the members bounce, because you had Westy, you know, trying to hit the low liner into 16.
God.
And granted, you know, he didn't get the worst outcome. It didn't shoot right into the water, but he didn't get a good bounce. Shot back, and he's the non-member. And then JT gets the members bounce on 18. What was
the worst shot Westy hit today?
That's a good question. That's a really good question. There were several. God, the drive at 14 was so bad. You know, it saved him on the strip, and then he makes a birdie. The drive at 4 after the top, I mean, just the big balloon ball outright. I mean, what was yours? There were ample options. Fortunately, I can't say anything on the green that jumps out to me, right? Nothing. You know, 17 was not, that was a hard
putt. People got the full Westy experience because he had 4-footers every hole.
But he was making them all.
It was out of this world. He got everything out of the round. That's like the sad thing. He literally got everything out of it. He played so bad. Right. And he maximized the round. It was so bad. It was maybe one of the worst ball striker rounds I've ever seen him play in my life. And that's, you know, a lot of rounds. You know, the tee shot on 2, you could tell he was super uncomfortable. He pulled out 3-wood because of the wind and needed to draw the ball. Like I talked about on the live show, he like can't hook the ball because of his arm.
He's a thick boy. He just can't get it through.
Yeah, it doesn't straighten, so he has a ton of trouble turning the ball over right to left. And that hole, you need to turn over right to left, and the wind was blowing right. It was just I think that because he started off, he striped it down one.
Yeah.
Hit it to 5 feet, makes birdie, and then 2, it's just like the worst tee shot he could have had, and he doesn't feel comfortable in a driver, so he hits that little poof 3-wood, and it was over. For like the front nine, he couldn't hit a tee shot. He got backed onto his heels.
The drive on 12 was horrible. He got caught in the bunker. That was going right in the drink. The bunker saved that one, too. I mean, it was funny to hear him talk after the round. He goes, I knew I had one more right one in there for me. And certainly a couple left, and those showed up too. And, you know, because he talked about how he was uncomfortable. His legs, his body wasn't right. I mean, he's 47.
Makes me wonder how many glasses of wine did he have last night? Because that sounds like when I'm uncomfortable. That would happen.
These are the double-edged swords of living on Westy Island, right? I mean, there are consequences sometimes for living it up. But no, he says his legs weren't there, his body wasn't right, and it was clear he was played horribly and somehow held on to the lead or clawed, you know, near the lead for really until 17 green. So, what do you want? You want to continue on Westy? I want to talk about Tom. You're talking about how Westy can't really do the whole right to left thing. No, he had some hooks in there.
Well, those are left lefts.
Yeah,
it's not right to left.
Right. That's true.
Faders can hit left lefts.
Yeah, the straight left ball. Yeah, the hard pull. What did you make of this whole Thomas? People were going nuts about the low hooks that he's hitting. 16. I mean, that's the shot he kind of used to win it, at least on the stretch, 16 and 18. This hard hook, 5 wood, 3 something, 60 yards of rolling, 16.
It's cool to see him hit shots. I don't know how intentional that one on 16 was.
It was that meant to be that hard and low? Is that what
you're
suggesting?
It flew like 240 yards.
Yeah. On a par 5.
Like, it doesn't seem like that was the intention of the driver on 16. And 18, he completely overcooked it.
Yep. They talked about his line. Oh, such an incredible line. It was like, well, the line, he started it, you know, way out over land. It's not like he took it straight over the water. Yeah. And he got a great bounce. He got a really fortunate bounce. 16.
How
was
about
cool.
That missed short putt he had on 14? That was crazy.
You felt like he had life then? I mean,
yeah, I thought it was over.
And then Westy hits that bunker shot.
I think Kofi Coburn was sitting with 4 fouls right about then. It was really depressing times in both games.
I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah, but the cool thing was kind of illustrative of the shot making all day. It was, and Shane Bacon immediately pointed us out on Twitter. Others did. So he hits that low hard hook and then hits a high cut into 16 green, makes his 2-putt birdie, and that was it. That was the one to put him in the lead for good.
So, I mean, he is an extraordinary golfer. He is so good. Obviously, this year has been full of. You know, he's had the passing of his grandpa, which was brought up a few times on the telecast. But, you know, obviously he had the homophobic slur early in the year. And you thought this, I kind of thought this was going to be a really big year for JT, which is not going out on a limb in any way. But, you know, he's kind of gone up through the ups and downs, some self-inflicted, some not self-inflicted. And, you know, this is, he's, you know, arguably, you could say shot for shot, the most talented player out there, you know, when everything's going. Sure. Obviously, DJ, it'd be hard to say that somebody's more talented than DJ, but DJ kind of plays the same way, you know?
Yeah.
He's going to hit his, which is, this is not an indictment. His way of playing golf is pretty damn good, you know?
Right.
It's hard to argue with anything he does, but in terms of pure golf, like being able to hit all the shots, you know, JT, it's scintillating to watch, and we saw it this weekend. That's I think the word I would settle on to describe his weekend is scintillating performance, you know.
Jet 64 68 without putting, all that great. I think we look, there's a lot of hours to fill on a broadcast, a lot of time to fill. I think, you know, you mentioned his grandfather. I think that's part of his story and where he's at. I think the way we frame the slur, like where he's coming back from, or he's learned so much, I think you got to be really careful there and throw that out. He probably, you know, has he paid a cost? Is he working through it? I don't know, but I don't think we can say one way or another. And if we just sort of start heaping that on, like all he's been through, and
it's kind
of
like Reed.
Clarify, some of it is self-inflicted, some is it not. That's fine because it is going through something. But they just, I don't know. They brought in this is what, I know it's a television show. You got to frame the narrative and frame the characters. And they brought in Mike Tirico in the middle of the back nine to do that and talk about what happened with Justin Thomas this year. I just think, like, he's a great golfer. I don't mind him. Seems like a okay person. You know, not my favorite, not the guy I would, like, get way behind. But you just got to be careful with, like, how we frame what he's learned from what has happened, or what happened at Kapalua. And I think it's the same thing as, like, just overdoing it on, we try to see things that aren't, we don't know that are there. Like, are JT, are Westy and Bryson, like, really that tight? Like, the way we make, just because they acknowledge each other and say hello and laugh and say it was fun playing, it's like we hammer this story of their boys now. Or Bryson, if I have to hear one more time about, like, whoa, we get in love with the power, but he's actually pretty good in other parts of the game. Or nobody works harder than Bryson. You know, he's on the right. Like, we got
that's
that.
Like
we
the most
it.
Unquantifiable thing in the world. I hate that, too. Nobody works harder than this guy. It's like, how do you know?
Who can we say that with authority?
DJ might work harder than him. He probably doesn't.
DJ Singh, maybe.
No, DJ.
I know.
He probably doesn't, but like he might. We don't know. You know, like most of these guys do all their work when the cameras aren't on, you know?
Right.
It's kind of become, I'm sure that one of the things, I'm not saying that Bryson at all is doing it for the cameras, but I'm sure he doesn't mind the cameras catching him with the light, the stage lights on, him hitting balls, you know?
He's not like, going to tell him to turn off the cameras.
Exactly. Like, I think, and who wouldn't like spending a Sunday with Westy? That's the other thing. Like, he's a nice guy to play with. He's all smiles all day. He does seem like he's just in a great spot in life. I saw in his press conference, he talked about how, like, you know, he's not really going to sweat it too much. He's going to play Augusta National with his son tomorrow.
Yep.
And then, you know, he's back at the Honda. He's coming down to the swamp. Might need to go emergency credential. Drop him off. I got an extra bag of Westy Island. I might have to get him extra bag
he's
of Westy
in the field?
Island blonde. Yeah.
I'm not ready mentally. So he's going 4-for-4 on the Florida swing. He's as much a Florida man as you are now.
He's
right?
A swamp swing. He's a swamp swing regular. So when he comes up, this is his. He's going to be in the match play. He's got to be about 20th in the world.
I don't know. He's talking about how he didn't have his legs today. He wanted to be rested
I'm telling
up
you,
for Augusta National.
I know when I don't have my legs, there's usually a pretty common culprit.
little grape.
Dark grapes.
Do we have anything else on Justin Thomas? Do we need to do big picture stuff? He's now won a Players' Championship. I saw that the Golf TV had the all-important graphic. He's joined an illustrious group of, I think he's the fourth. I don't even know. It's one of FedEx Cup, a WGC, a Players, and a major champion. He joins Rory, Stenson, and Tiger. So, the point is, he's done some work in his career. He's whatever, in his mid to late 20s already. This is kind of who we thought him to be. He's done well at Sawgrass before, and he did well this weekend. Do we need to start talking about how many majors he's going to win and all that stuff?
He's extraordinary.
Yeah.
In terms of guys in the same age range, it's like, you know, him, Spieth, Bryson.
Right.
Brooksy.
Right. Right.
It's a short Rory. List. And I think... if you were going to do long-term odds, you might put him number one.
I think you're right. And well, it always depends on what you...
Rahm's in there, too.
It depends on what you value or what your criteria you're using. But in terms of, like, winning, he does it more than the others. He wins. Now, it may be, you know, Sony or Capital Lewis sometimes. Sometimes it's a major of the Players. But, like, Brooksy can't hold a candle to him in that regard in terms of win, you know, how often he wins. That's all subjective, whatever criteria you want to throw or apply. But I think it feels like he's the best winner of them all. Maybe DJ if you're throwing him in there as a contemporary, but he's a little older at this point. So DJ might not play for more than like four or five more years.
DJ's in his like late 30s, you know?
Yeah, he's our age, I think. Or he's my age, 37, I want to say.
I'm Webb's age.
Okay. You're way behind in kids, though. You got to catch up on that.
Way behind.
All right. Let's talk a little. Let's do an ad read, and then we'll talk a little bit more Westy. This was Draddy Players Week. BeDraddy.com. They sponsored the SGS Sunday Sermon live show that we did. That was a fun little gaggle. I think we did our best and worst case scenarios, and I think your worst case scenario pretty much came to fruition.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, I guess it could have been worse. Westy could have missed
Westy,
those putts.
Westy held on. He, you know, worst case would have been Westy, you know, playing the way he played on the front nine, first seven holes, really. Eight holes.
Well,
he kind of did play that way the whole day, so.
Thanks to BeDraddy for coming in, sponsoring this week and those Sunday Instagram Lives. They've sponsored them pretty much through the rest of the year. They'll be, you know, 15 minutes, maybe one Sunday, 20 minutes, usually before the TV coverage starts. Sometimes it's on golf. Sometimes it's on adjacent inanity. but they will be with us all year. The website is bdratty.com. It sounds like you got your signals off. Why is UConn maybe when you're doing your flight school?
Yankee.
Signals?
Yankee.
Okay.
And okay. D is Delta.
Well, the promo code is SGS25. That gets you 25% off site-wide. I've been in a polo all day like I was on whatever we recorded Thursday. Went with the long sleeve today. Jack long sleeve polo. Just a nice, like you said, having one appendage exposed, one appendage covered. We got to 65. It was a good shorts and long sleeve polo day for me today, a Sunday afternoon. So I did the Jack long sleeve. It's a 4-button polo. That Peruvian Pima cotton, super soft. I just think it's a good... I think everything they have, the quality of the material, it just feels like something you can lounge in and also like look semi-presentable if and when you go out of the house or if and when the neighbors see you in the backyard.
That's my favorite thing.
Combination. Yeah.
It's I don't want to interrupt this ad read, but I want to point out about the alphabet, the aviation alphabet.
Yeah, this is the ad read. This is how our ad reads go. What?
Do you know what G is?
No. Golly? George?
Golf.
Golf. Really?
Yeah. I was taking, I had to take this test and I was watching this YouTube prep class and yeah. I watched it like 3 or 4 times and they would go through the, they were going through the alphabet and they're like, the really weird ones are golf for G and Quebec for Q. They always brought up those two.
That's great. Learn something new every day. That's fantastic. Anyways, bdratty.com is the website.
Hey, your point about the clothes is great. Here's like my biggest selling point of why you should want to golf and bdratty stuff. They're comfortable and everything. But like one of the things, especially this was pre-COVID life. Like one of the things I would do if I played early morning golf, I'd like go meet my wife for lunch or brunch somewhere a lot with her friends. And if you are wearing you could just like roll up in bdratty clothes. Like
you
if you're wearing
like
you're
a scripted by yeah. entourage or something.
If
like
you
that. Or,
like, right. And I don't want to flame on it, but if you wear like the all Nike getup, you need to go change before you go. Like, but like if you're wearing like you could kind of just go,
yeah,
to your next thing. Like
yeah.
It, almost any situation you could just transition to your next thing if you want.
Yes.
Without having to change. Which
Unless
is
you're
a
going
huge
to, like, a wedding
selling
with black
point.
Tie. Yeah, you're good. You're mostly good. So, all right.
Like you can untuck the shirt. You yeah. could keep it tucked in. You
one
could
tuck,
you
one
know
no tuck.
You yeah,
know.
You know you could pop jeans on, not change your shirt. You're fine. You know, yeah. Like there's all kinds of bevy of options.
Okay, fantastic. SGS25, legit promo code, 25% off site wide at bdratty.com. Thanks to them for coming in sponsoring.
You
want to
know one of
the fried egg this year.
This is going to be the last time we bring up the alphabet, okay. Aviation alphabet.
Let's do
it. You know what my favorite one is, though?
No, I don't, actually, because I don't know them. So how do I know what your favorite one is?
P.
I don't know what any of them are.
P is Papa.
Pampling?
Oh, Papa.
Papa. Okay.
Papa. I just think it's funny. Of all the words, Papa.
Great. Fantastic. All right, Westy, anything else? Do you want to talk about the drop on too? I think we got to talk about it. People have worked up about it.
All right, yeah, I do want to talk about this. All right, he hits the ball
it
from
was a
the
bad
woods
drop. We
from the wood
Patrick
all right.
Reed tons of shit.
No, he hit the ball from the woods.
Yes,
and he literally was asking volunteers, asked the playing partners, you could hear him walking up, did that go in the water? He had no clue where it went in.
Okay.
Like he didn't know if it went in or not. He clearly didn't see the ball. And here's the thing, here's the difference. This is why I wouldn't yell about it. This is the man that at the last Open Championship
right.
in contention refused to take a drop when he could yep. have gotten a drop because he didn't want to take advantage of the rules. So at a tournament that means more, definitely means more to him.
No, I'm kidding. Okay. Yep.
And definitely means more. It's a major. He refused to take a drop because he felt like he was taking advantage of the rules. This was not him taking advantage of the rules. He didn't see where the ball go in. He did his best guess to estimate where it went in. You know, like, maybe the officials should have done a better job, but, like, this is not Patrick Reed whatsoever, and I'm done talking about this.
Who do you think values the players more than an open? Billy Ho, the baton boy, probably, would be more moved by winning the gold standard than
maybe DJ after his recent comments.
Oh, about what? Not playing internationally? Not playing for Tokyo?
Playing in the Olympics, yeah. Because the players pays more money than the Open.
Well, no. All right. So it was his best guess, but that guess did, in fact, give him an enormous advantage than what would have been the proper.
What was it, two yards? It might never
bullshit.
Cross.
The ball never went out over the fairway, and he got a fairway lie. The ball stayed out over the rough.
He was
asking people.
He was asking people when he was walking up. I'm sure we don't have video of him taking the drop.
I'm not assigning him malintent here.
I'm just saying he asked people.
This is the way it works.
This is just the way it works.
But on four, he called in the guy.
On four, when he poofed it out there.
He called in the TV guy. I don't know. Do we know that he did this for two? I mean,
Nobody knows. Nobody knows who gave him the drop, okay? All I know is he was asking questions when he was walking up. That's what I was watching. That's what everybody was watching. He dropped it where he dropped it. He was asking questions. He didn't know where it went in. He couldn't see it go in.
In the end, it didn't totally matter, right? I mean, he didn't win it off of that or not. Daniel Rappaport of GolfDigest.com talked to PGA Tour rules official Gary Young, you know, member of your favorite cohort, the Tour rules officials, riding in. Maybe you like them more. Riding in to defend your boy here this time. You kind of have to know the terrain in that area. He punches the shot out, and what happens is it drops off into a bunker. Then there's this little spit of land before it goes in the water. So all he sees is it go over that shelf and down. It hits and kicks to the right toward a penalty area stake that was there. So he's seen that. There are no volunteers in the area. If you replay the video, you see it go down, hits the ground, and kicks to the right. When he goes there, he can't see what happened when it goes over the hill. So he's just going by what his eyes tell him, and he's exercising reasonable judgment. He gets the line in line with the flag. Then also, under the new rules, he gets that club length on both sides of that line, which I forgot about that. So that got him a little bit further to the left. People are wondering, how do you get so far to the left? He said, we've taken a look at it. We're very comfortable that he's using his reasonable judgment, the evidence that he had at the time. He's fine. So
this is a guy that throughout his entire career has not used the rules to his advantage. And I won't have anything more of it. I refuse to even indulge anybody that suggested otherwise on Twitter today.
This was a great show. So this came, you know, right at the start of... So Brennan Todd, in consecutive shots, we had the Todd watch, the shanks, which, you know, crippled them. I never lost the faith.
I think Todd watch is back on.
What do you mean? In terms of he might have the shanks? Or...
We might remember the last year and a half as an outlier.
Oh God!
To like when Knobloch started underhanding it to first. Todd was just batting it around.
So he shanks one into almost the island, the flower barge dock.
The only actual island on that hole.
You know. I almost tweeted today, like, they won't stop calling it the Island Green. It's like it's like calling the Reno in the Pacific Northwest. It's an Island Green kind of like Reno's in the Pacific Northwest. Although you could argue that's more accurate than calling it an Island Green.
So here's the thing. The first Island Green in America is called the Moat Hole, you know? Yeah. It's in at Galen Hall in Pennsylvania. Like an hour and a half west of Philly. You have to take a bridge. I wish it was a drawbridge. If we could raise the profile of the course, maybe they get enough money they could put a drawbridge over the moat. But there's no land connecting.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a peninsula.
It is a misnomer, but that's not the branding at this point. So Todd does that one. So Todd does the shank off to the Flower Island. Rice and then tops one, I think, on the next frame, next shot. Tops one at the 14.
Unbelievable.
Then Westy hits his balloon ball. Then Bryson's like dropping from the hazard that's not really supposed to be in play except for the 20 handicappers who top balls into that hazard and their penalty area, whatever it's called, and hits one like 60 yards offline into the woods on the right. Kind of.
Then he was looking
well
at his
to
club.
Get down and. Yeah. I mean, just Mike's picking him. Oh my gosh, Tim, what is happening? You know, just the mics are getting everything. Is that a good Bryson impression? I never thought about that. You know, just these really demonstrative reactions, which, you know, every golfer has one way or another. That was just great theater. Fantastic theater. Everything you want from a golf tournament. And Westy just hanging on by an absolute thread. What was your favorite part of that whole sequence?
My buddy texted me. He was on a flight. He goes, I did not pay $19 for in-flight Wi-Fi to stream Westy slicing balls like an 18 handicap. He goes, I would have been willing to pay $100 to watch Bryson cold top tee balls, though. So I guess we'll call it a wash.
They were bad. I didn't see that coming. From Bryson was who was worse? Bryson or Westy? I think Westy was more consistently bad from start to finish, right?
Yeah, no? I don't know. Bryson was so bad.
They did not.
I don't know why he hit driver on 14 every day. I don't know. I think I watched it every day. He was in a bad spot every day.
He went right into those moguls, right?
It's just a horrible place to be. He's just bombing it over there. I just didn't understand the logic of that. Like, he hits like the 3-wood into the fairway, and he has a wedge in anyway. Like, he hits his 3-wood so far out there. Like, I get it. I don't know. One of the things that bugged me with the setup, the greens were so firm, which I love, but then the approaches, because of the rye overseed, were so soft. So, you know, you saw these guys in these no-win situations where if they landed it short of the green, it, like, spun back off.
Like Westy,
and then if you land it, yeah, like 15 was a perfect example where JT hit it, like, in the perfect spot. Granted, JT's was in that short rough, but at the same time, he couldn't have hit a better shot there. And it ends
it
up like
fairway.
Yeah, it ends up like 30 feet past, and then Westy lands it in the perfect spot short, and it spins back because of this ride. I think they need to look at trying to firm up the approaches. I love the firmness of the greens, but those approaches need to be a little firmer because it just took away shot options.
Is that doable? Time and year, given the ryegrass.
I don't know.
Metric tons, you're not.
Maybe there, maybe they there. Make them a little less green.
A little less green, yeah.
They might be able to cut them a little lower. I don't. They just probably need to roll the crap out of them.
By the way, while we're on Bryson, we got a lot of questions about what was on his Hogan hat. Cap, his dopey little hat. It was a lion. If you think whatever you thought the explanation for it could not have been as specious and as much of a reach of what actually the inspiration. Puma's got to be reined in, brought it activating around every freaking event. The lion has something to do with fans being back, experience the roar of 17 at Sawgrass, which then gets the lion.
It looked like a transformer.
It was an odd looking lion. That's the explanation for it, because there are roars at 17th hole. So now we have a lion on his cap. It's just this maze of logic you got to get to before. It's very not intuitive, counterintuitive decoration insignia. But Puma does that for every event. Anything else on Bryson that tickled you, bothered you, upset you? We kind of covered him in pretty much detail.
He was fine. To be fair. I would rather have had Bryson win than JT in my personal, you know.
This was world. The worst case scenario, as you said on the live show. Why does JT bother you more than Bryson? This is just a fan ranking. This was like the Cardinals beating the Cubs in like the NLCS or something, right? I mean, it's just the team you're not a fan of. Okay. Why does he bother you more than Bryson?
I don't know. It just...
It's just taste.
It's just it's a series of many okay. occurrences okay. over the last 5 years that have made me, you know, a series of comments. I think just in general, the way he treats the USGA bothers me. Just because, like, you know what? Like, guess what, man? Golf isn't all about you. And that's just generally, I think, his attitude towards life. And I understand why it's that way. If you're a PGA Tour player, you know, most of them, in a way, like, to get to that level, you have to be pretty selfish. You have to be relatively, I would say that a lot of PGA Tour pros carry a lot of narcissistic, you know, tendencies. But, you know, the way he just loves to take pot shots, the game's governing body, you know, I'm somebody that is happy to critique and be critical of the USGA. But, you know, the way he does it, the manner in which he does it, I think sometimes is a little childish. I just think in general, he's kind of like the spoiled child syndrome.
Was there any player that popped up out of nowhere that like, oh my God, is this really going to happen? Like, there's an inordinate amount of Taylor Gooch and Corey Connors.
I'll tell you what, that was during this dark time where my worst case scenario was coming true. I became a Taylor Gooch fanatic. Started to try. When he hit it close on 16, I was like, oh, here's his chance. Taylor Gooch.
Doug Gim, that was tough. Tough to watch.
Doug Gim
felt bad for him.
Understands the weight that Fitzy's been carrying for his whole life.
Just playing for the second largest metropolitan area in the country. Third? Whatever it is. He shot a 78. It
was, how about Sungjae shooting 77 yesterday and then backing it up with another 66? 72, 66, 77, 66.
Jason Kokrak backdoored his way into a nice payday with the 67. Hefty payday,
what do you,
I'm sure.
What do you think Wesley's going to do next week?
At Honda?
Do you think the third time's the charm? He knocks and kicks in
no,
down the door.
No, I think he's wiped. I can't believe he's playing that. I just don't. That doesn't seem right, especially because he's going to do match play as well before the Masters. But I wouldn't back him next week. So, anything else on setup issues that bothered you or thought were great? There was some carping about how they made it too easy on Friday. I enjoyed Saturday turning it into like kind of a moving day in actuality. That's just usually a cliche we throw at a term, but as we saw with Justin Thomas and several others, you could make a move. But anything bother you about setup, pin placement? I thought it was nothing jumped off the page, right?
It did
you
exactly
want firmness.
I just would like to see firmness in the approaches. I think it's just hard. It's going to be really, you have to put so much water down to get that rye overseed done. It's just, you know.
Yeah.
And it's just a slow, sticky grass. So,
my underrated moment of the week. I think this might be my favorite moment of the week. Did you see Louis Oosthuizen gave away his driver in the middle of the round to a fan?
I didn't see that.
Just disgusted. Does that tell you it's more of a major or not a major if he's giving away his driver in the middle of a round? But then he got caught.
Yeah, can
16.
We talk about your major take?
On 16, he hit 3-wood, 3-wood, and made eagle. What, he didn't have a driver. Yes, he kept giving it away to a kid, and he hit 2 3-woods and made an eagle.
Louis finished, of the guys that made the cut, I think he finished second to last in strokes gained off the tee for the week. So.
That's why I gave it away in the middle of a round. What do you want to talk about? What are you trying to pop me on? Something?
Your major take. Have you come down from your Saturday butterflies feeling?
I
many are saying many are saying that you've been had by Lepland.
No, God's sakes, absolutely not. I think it's a great golf event, and it almost is every year. And I love the familiarity, warm feeling of a kind of, the warm feeling of familiarity, I should say. I do not like, the tour would just get out of its own effing way. Like, why do we love Riviera? Why do we have so much fun with that every year, just the weekend, because we don't get hammered with the theme song and the partners and the super season. And this is our, this is the first of our five season of championships, or we're right in the middle. Jay Monahan's interview with, I think it was Mike Tirico or Steve Sands on Saturday, was an absolute just buzzword bonanza. It's just
insane.
Ridiculous.
Insane.
We had the return to golf. We had the season of championships. We had the super season. We had the gold standard. Just FedEx Cup, and then all the partners, Rand Thornton, all those he paid off.
I just wish like, he could talk like a normal human being. Just be like a golf fan and not you. How about the announcer? How about the announcer when they announced Lee Westwood, two-time PGA Tour winner? Are you fucking kidding me? He was a European Tour Player of the Year last year, and you have this new strategic alliance with him.
That's a good point, actually. The alliance kind of opened the door for that. But this is kind of what they do.
Bryson, eight-time PGA Tour winner. Now you don't even mention that he's the reigning U.S. Open champion. I feel like if they're holding a major championship, you have to acknowledge that.
Well, if. I mean, for JT, they said he was the 2017 FedEx Cup champion and not the 2017. I mean, he also won his only major that year.
Yeah.
It's the organization. It's the myopia of the organization. He was an amateur winner, or that's the USGA championships they lost.
But they'll acknowledge other things.
They don't just
acknowledge USGA things.
Yeah.
The point of an introduction. Yeah. Is to introduce them to fans. Like,
as someone
hey,
of consequence,
this
significant.
Is, this is yeah. who this person is. It shouldn't be, this is who this person is only in our light.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess it's getting to your larger point of the tour just constantly getting in their way. But I don't know. I was actually talking with you and Shane Bacon, and we were texting Saturday night, and I was just getting wrapped up into it. I've been really into it all this week. It feels different. Now, if we want to apply some arbitrary label as a major or not, that's fine. It just, every week feels different. It's really good. It's really strong. I think the coverage of it gets a little bit much, but it's a big event. It's a larger event. I think it could be a major if we got hit over the head a few less times with the tour stuff.
This is why I use the analogy I used on the live show. Illinois just won a Big Ten title, a Big Ten tournament. It was awesome. That was like, it was a big win. It wasn't like a regular win. You know, it wasn't like beating.
Sure.
It wasn't like drubbing Michigan by, you know, one time up 40 in the regular season on them. But, you know, it was bigger than that, but it's not at all like winning an NCAA tournament, you know?
Right.
So right. I think the players is something. And it means something more than even I'd say it means something more than a win at Riviera, because you have all the best players at the Players every single year. And that is important.
Right. Right. Anything else from what'd you make of anything on the TV, anything on Every Shot Live? I think Every Shot Live is like not a bad deal. I mean, the audio, it seems to be what people love the most out of that. You're just really like you're out there and you're getting. Or even you're out there and you're in the group, you know, with you're caddying almost with some of the audio features. And we saw that really come to fruition on Saturday with the Spieth Sabatini contretemps run in. So, which has been scrubbed. You're not going to get that Every Shot Live feature anymore.
It's
as
still
you might
floating
expect.
Around.
Oh, I mean, I did the screen record right away. I've got it in the archives. Everybody saved that thing. You know, they knew that was going down. But I'm talking about on the tour app, the shots have been edited in a way that you wouldn't know that Sabo was necessarily hit into, and it's been cut down from what it normally was. So that was a good feature, right? It seems like a long way from the data lake being able to accomplish that for every week, but I enjoyed it.
The data lake was cool. I think one of the things, just like we found out golf's better without fans, it might be also true that golf's better without announcers. Because we heard today, I lost count. I started trying to count how many times pressure was mentioned. How many times? And I know it's hard. It's hard to fill. But maybe just stop talking. You know, it's always an option, and it's always an okay option. Like I think one of the best things announcer teams and coverage teams could do is just not talk.
Do you think the guys are really thinking about 17 when they're on like 6 green, 8 green, 12 green? The way we had to hear that a bunch, like the back of their mind, they're still thinking about that 17. I just don't think that's the case. I mean, I know it looms over the round, but I just...
It might cross their mind thinking, every once in a while.
Yeah. I don't know. I having to hear about that as like the entire deal on every green, that's what they're thinking about.
I mean, one of the things is like they have to get the green so firm because of technology. You know, and this is like the reality of where we are, is that if you want courses to hold up at all, the greens have to be rocks, right?
Yeah.
Now, today with it downwind on 17, that shot was basically impossible. Because if you hit it at that flag and you landed, Harmon was the only guy, but it landed short, right?
Right. Rom went at it, landed in the bunker.
This is what technology has done, where the conditioning, like, and I'm like the one that's preached this more than anybody, like the only way to challenge guys in today's era with this equipment and being able to hit it so far is with conditioning. You know,
yeah.
But one of the things that got taken away from us is like these greens have to be so firm and fast that hole was just hit it left.
I was
and try
say,
and two putt. It wasn't like fun to watch.
It was. I was going to say it was pretty boring and was like
16 was the fun hole to watch.
Right. I mean, because even if like the best shot at 17 was kind of just left of the bunker. And maybe it like bounces to the back, you know, mm-hmm. you know, middle back, and you're still, you know, kind of hoping for a two putt. You know, nobody birdied it that I remember watching. It was just boring, Harmon. Yeah, very few got it close. So
and that's like the thing. So it's one of the things that happens is there are consequences when you set up courses on the very edge, like what we saw at Riviera. But like this is an unintended consequence is that you just lose. You can't even go at that shot. Now, I think if the wind was the opposite direction, you would see guys be able to go at it because the wind. But when it's downwind, there's just not. You can't do anything. And if the weather's good, if they get nice weather, the wind's going to be coming out of the south, and that hole's always going to be playing downwind. If it's cool, it's going to be coming out of the north. You know, and that's just the matter of fact.
Yep. Let's clean up a few things. Do you have anything else on Spieth and Sabatini? I mean, it spoke for itself. Nothing we can say about that is going to add. If I was writing an article, I would have written, you know, the 55 best things. You know, I hope he hits a good shot. Nope, it cuts himself off. Nope, as I see it, dive bombing hard left. He's the one guy you don't want to hit into. I think it got a little weird at the end with maybe Sabatini's creeping on Morikawa's significant other. It was just fantastic all the way around. Then later, Spieth was in the fairway telling stories about Kokrak. One time, his group hit into Kokrak 3 times in a round. They had a rain delay, and Kokrak came in screaming at him and pissed. But the whole Sabbath was just perfect. Well, there's another look for you. It was just as good a video as you're going to get from that kind of otherwise bland portion of a tournament. So
after Westy hit his approach on one, he was fourth in the tournament in strokes gained approach. I remember because I had the tracker up.
Yeah.
He finished 15th. He was also like in the top 10 in strokes gained off the tee. He finished 43rd.
Oh, God. It was so bad today, man. He was so bad.
That's the thing is, like, it was so hopeless today. And I got so, yeah. You know, I think everybody had so much fun. Not really fun. They realized that Sunday on Westy Island is maybe the most agonizing place to be. Yeah. But it's such a fun place to be.
And this was much better way to go.
He's the best guy to root for.
This was a much easier way to take than him striping it and missing a bunch of 8-footers, right?
Yeah, this was a way easier loss. But like here's the thing that I think back to. It's like he doesn't rinse it on fucking 4 or 2. He hits 2 balls in the water. He loses by 1.
Yeah,
it's great. Just unbelievable. What happens to this guy on Sundays?
That birdie on 18 was like a good like $600,000 swing or something.
It was with Bryce, huge money putt.
Bryson lifted out.
Does that putt go in if it's for the win?
No. No, of course not. We know that.
It was like, that was the best putt he's ever hit. Like, did you see the pace it went in? You know, like when Kevin Durant hits a jumper and it's like, hits net. Like a three from the top of the key. It's like a vortex, the ball going through the net. That ball went in like a Kevin Durant jumper. It was like, there's no doubt about it. And that's the only, it's like one of the few putts I've ever seen Westy hit that went in like that. I couldn't believe he made the putt on 17 on Saturday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's what that I was, really believed that it might happen.
It was going to happen. I thought it won, starting with the birdie, was like, all right. I know there's a long way to go, but like maybe this is
his best. I felt so good. And then the two, it was so quick. Because two, you could just tell on the tee he was uncomfortable.
Right. How many bunkers was he in?
Oh, God.
Helen was just raking. I mean, Westy's a true sportsman and helps and rakes as well for all of his caddies. But Helen, it felt like, if not in the fairway, greenside almost every time. So,
I got to get Westy on the pod.
You do. Anything else we'll clean up? Rory comments about Bryson chasing speed. It's totally messed up his swing.
What did you think of that?
Friday night. I mean, I love that it was an honest moment. I love that Rory's talking about it. I tweeted brought to mind the quote from J.P. Fitzgerald when Rory was sort of sulking around. I want to say it was Birkdale. He said, "You're Rory fucking McIlroy. What the hell are you doing?" He's won four majors. He's been really good in like 17, 18, 19. Like he's been good in recent years, player of the year, whether he's won majors or not. Why does Bryson like just booming it around Wingfoot for a week, or Bryson being good in the all caps return to golf? I just don't think it should impact him that way. He's Rory effing McIlroy, and he already hits it really well. It's not like how much more is he going to add? I thought it was sad to hear that. Honestly, I was happy that he was honest and open about it. As Ryan Lavner show, he took like a minute or 20 seconds to say, like, do I really want to say this? And he did. And Bryson, of course, was just a pig in shit. He downplayed it, but he was so happy. It was like, yeah, you know, I love Rory being honest with that. And, you know, but yeah, well, I knew people would do it.
Remember
and it
when
work
he,
for
remember when he hit it like 30 by him that first, they were paired Colonial. Right from the return of golf and it like totally rattled Rory.
Colonial. Yeah.
But, you know, it just reminds you that with golf, like you have to be yourself. Like, and everything you do in golf, if you're trying to be somebody else, you'll usually fail. Like you have to play your way. You have to improve your way. You have to do things your way. And Bryson did things his way, like, and all hats off to him. I was talking to Zach Blair on Friday and we were just talking and he was like, you know, the one thing that's underrated is like, Bryson's swing, the one plane thing, is just so perfect for adding speed. Like, not everybody can go do what he did and have such good success with it. But it's because his swing has so few moving parts in it, it's so easy to add speed. And I think that's where, if you know, it's the same thing happens in golf architecture. Like somebody comes in with a new style and these other architects, what they do is they copy it and ride the wave, but all of it stinks compared to the guys that created the style. Right.
First. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think where people will take from this, what, you know, Bryson's impact will be 15 years from now.
Right. Right.
Just like what we saw with Tiger.
Starting from a good place with the one plane thing for to do that.
You
know, when you were just talking about that, like you have to stay within yourself and play your, be comfortable with who you are. I mean, I think that for me, that's just like a further highlights how there has to be like greater oversight, right? And more regulate, letting know that everybody can do it their own way, but we're within this general constraints of playing on a level playing field. And like, do you know what I mean? Like, if I'm Spieth and I see Bryson adding, you know, 60 pounds and hitting it, you know, 200 miles an hour, like, that's fine. Maybe I need to get longer, but I also want to know that there's nothing funky going on there, right? I'm not talking about Bryson individually. I'm talking Bryson specifically. I'm talking about across the board. You want to be able to do it your own way, with knowing that everyone else is kind of on a doing it their own way with the legal playing field, right? It's a further point for greater oversight and regulation. There's a million reasons why there needs to be, from equipment to drug testing to rulings, but. I think just allowing people to kind of flourish in a way that's best for them, as opposed to trying to keep up with the Jones or do it the way that the other guy's doing it, is, I don't know. It's just another reason why you need that kind of oversight. All right.
Yeah. You know, I think everybody in Associated Golf would like to see more oversight, but we've found maybe this week, you know, Corey just Connors. A more of, you know,
Corey Connors put a scare in the commish there. He might have been their kind of long shot winner there coming down the stretch. But all right, cleaning up a few things. Jaco Prinsloo wins. Jaco Prinsloo. He's our 2021 Players Championship, the Shotgun Start Players Champion.
Event of the week.
He beat Jake Roos and Danny Van Tonder in a playoff at the Players' Championship at Dane Farron Golf Estate. Over on the European Tour, the Qatar Commercial Bank Masters, Antoine Rosner held off a trio of Guido Migliozzi, Darren Fitchert, who I guess has his logo. Someone sent us his logo on the front of his hat, something like DF, Darren Fitchert. And,
well, if you don't have a sponsor, why not put your own logo?
That's true. So congrats to... Antoine Rosner, the Frenchman, I believe. That's your Commercial Bank Qatar Masters news. I don't have much. The big one was DJ saying I'm not doing the Olympics.
Thomas Bjorn's rant on Twitter is well worth your time. Go check it out.
What was that about? Just not him not committing to the Olympics?
It's worth
it. It looks odd in light of the Saudi, you know, just recently after the Saudi stuff. So we now know. Seems like DJ and Webb. Webb wasn't, I don't think Webb is necessarily in the rankings.
You know
yet,
who's going
right
to be
now.
An Olympian?
God, I'm trying to think who you could go, where you could go with this. Who?
Patrick fucking Reed. He's going to go to the Olympics and cheat as an American.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, is it increased testing over there? The WADA, is it?
Oh, maybe Bryson won't go. That'd be a telltale sign. I wonder if the CT machine makes it to Tokyo.
That would be fantastic. The IGF really putting the screws to some of these guys that are used to living the pampered tour life.
Hey, here's the Bjorn rant. So okay. Here we go again. The world's best player says no to playing in the Olympics. Every athlete has that right, and with the way the golfing schedule it is understandable. I have 100% respect for that. Majors, FedEx Cup, Ryder Cup, there are plenty of things to focus on. I grew up and played my best golf when golf wasn't in the Olympics, and I look at it now wishing it had been. I would today have been a 3-5-time Olympian and would have backed myself to win a medal. What a thrill that must be. To represent my country that way would be an honor. Saying that I might have won a medal, but so what? I would have taken part in the greatest sporting spectacle. I would have some unbelievable memories. I speak to players that took part, and they all agree that it was an exceptional experience, win or lose. My advice to young players is, if you are ever good enough, there are two things you should do. Never miss your national open and play in the Olympics. When you get older, you realize what you've missed out on.
It's a fair perspective. DJ does not share it. I can accept not wanting to go. I can't accept them saying the FedEx Cup means more. That's that bug. That's ridiculous. But, you know, the Olympics to some people is a totally hyped manufactured thing now, too. It's a by the networks and the big brands behind it, you know, at least on the American side.
You
but
know,
probably not in other countries, of course.
You know what great go. Golfer might not care about the FedEx Cup that could be an Olympian?
Is he in range, Westy?
I mean, he's going to be like 20th in the world.
That's the thing. He seems like he's locked in for a very strong year. I don't know if he's going to win a major or anything, but this just seems like he's playing so well.
If Westy wins a gold medal, that's a major in my eyes.
You said if he won today, he'd be in the Hall of Fame. Clinched a Hall of Fame spot.
Westy's like a Ryder Cup lock, too.
I know. He's going to be 48. God. All right, that's a good way to end it. It's coming back around to Westy discussion. Do you have anything else you'd
Westy
like to get
Westy is
off?
Now 19th in the world.
Really? Wow.
He's ahead of, I don't know who else right around. Casey's 17 and Fitzy's 16 and Tyrrell. How many guys do you need to have? What's the?
I thought like four in the top
20?
12, 10. I don't know if it's 20. I don't know. This is kind of.
I mean, Fitzy's going to play in the Olympics. Hatton right. probably would play in the Olympics.
For who? Fitzy. Who's he representing?
Chicago.
Dual citizen. Okay. All right.
Man, Doug Gim, really tough day.
Okay.
All right. Let's end
everyone
this.
Everyone enjoy your Sunday. Everyone enjoy your Monday.
Still light up.
Congrats on a good week at the tour. Walk into the Global Home tomorrow with a little pep in your step.
Great event.
Good gold standard. Global Home got some run this week. How about a segment on the fucking Global Home? Well, that's what we needed. The new headquarters with the moat. All right. Everyone enjoy your weekend. Good, great fun Players Championship. Thanks for BeDratty for sponsoring it. We'll be back with a little Honda Classic. The Swamp. This is the swampiest of the swamp swing. We'll talk to you on Wednesday.